listening. I heard you call, but I just can't remember it. Sorry.
Lane over here on 85, going southbound, KG4MUK Kilo Golf 4, my uniform Kilo.
Husky Alpha 4 Hotel November Tango. I'm in a town named Pendleton to the west of 85 by maybe 7 miles, 7 or 8 miles.
You just get off work and headed back to the house. Get ready to do it all over again.
Getting ready to turn all the equipment off and go into the house and see if I can, I don't know, find a pig to kick or something. Do something worth useful. I don't know if I tell you, my name is Alton Alpha Lima Tango Oscar November, and we're in Pendleton. That's what I'm going to tell you.
Yeah, I've been getting on here early in the morning when I'm headed to work. There's a small group of people talking on their way to work. And I ain't never really bothered with keying up that much in the afternoon. Most of the time I've been getting off work so stinking late, I'm too tired to even pick up the microphone to even think about trying to talk.
House when it comes quitting time. I got in a few minutes ago and went through everything I had to, do just getting into the house. Came out to my little building out here, turned on the rigs, and been just sitting around playing. Couldn't get television reception worth a darn, so I said, well, the heck with that, and turned it off. And I was getting ready to go back to the house. So you're going, where you live down through there?
I'm between Seneca and Clemson.
Where Clemson is then, certainly. Pendleton is contiguous to Clemson. Pendleton's one of the older towns. And Seneca, I used to live on the farm up there until we sold it a few years back. It was right up there off the Seneca River, in fact. Had 770 feet on it, and other people wanted it, and I did not need to keep trying to take care of a bunch of land.
At one time or another, I think I was looking for land over towards, on the Oakway side, but so hard to find somebody turned loose of 5 or 10. Everybody over there's got a couple of hundreds, kind of out of range for me, but land is nothing like it was many, many, many years ago. Used to, you could find it anywhere. People are buying it up and hanging on to it.
And I wish I had not sold that piece of property up there, but it was in my parents' estate, and that was because there are two heirs to the estate. It was just going to be a cumbersome thing, so when I had a reasonable enough offer, I went ahead and made the move on it. Because I would tend to use up all my good time, it seemed like, chasing after that land to keep it looking pretty and all that stuff. Never had a litter along the road, anything like that. I just wouldn't allow it. So he came down here to clean out my mother's house and told my work not getting done. I'm getting nothing done on that.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, I remember when my parents passed away and truck driving and driving over the road at the time and I didn't even have a chance to do anything with it when I finally did. My gosh. Mosettas or whatever you call them things. Them things took over that property. It was an acre deep and about 150 feet wide, and I think everything on it was 16 to 18, 20 feet tall, and took a couple of days to cut that out.
And I've got several properties I have to look after, and I'm just kind of looking forward to getting beyond it, going on to the next whatever. But going inside, Mother and Daddy lived here right at 73 years. They built the house back in the early 40s and, lived their lives out here. The one had their babies here, and they got that done. And they didn't have enough babies because they left me as the last one to clean it all up.
No, and now go figure on that one.
But the Presbyterian graveyard, I do cuss my brother a good bit, and a couple other people too. But I don't know what to do with all this stuff, and people make suggestions, but I feel like I need to look at things. I came across a little box yesterday, and I thought, what's in that blue box? And for the first time in 40-some years, I picked it up, I opened it, and it was my sister's stationery to number 2 Falling Leaf Lane, Newport Beach, California. And she didn't live there when she passed away. She lived at another address, so this was old stationery. But I felt a lump in the bottom of that stationery, and I looked up in there. There was kind of a plastic bag. It wasn't a baggie. It was a plastic bag. It's full of silver coins. And the only thing I can figure is that she'd been dropping silver coins as she found them in her change. She'd been dropping them in her desk. When they cleaned out her desk, they dropped them in this plastic thing and just threw them in there with her stationery, which evidently was a convenient place to ditch them. And so I came across, I'm talking about a good handful of silver coins.
My daddy used to have one of those, I don't know, it was like a 6-quart, 8-quart, 10-quart. It was like a 2-foot by 2-foot cooler. And he had that son of a gun when I was a teenager slam full of Morgan silver dollars from the 1850s, 40s, and whatever. And I asked him one day, I was like, you know, if you want me to put them in my safe at the house, I'll put them in the safe and I'll keep them for you. They're okay. Nobody going to bother. Well, he traded them things off for this and that and this and that. And I'd remembered looking at them son of a guns. And he had some of them that were odd stamped Morgan silver dollars. And he had traded them things for a farm tractor. And I looked them things up later after I found out, and when I found out what they was worth, I said, I said, one coin was worth that tractor. And I was like, you traded them the whole row, the roll? I was like, that's like $15,000 times 10 or something like that. They said, oh, it's just coins, don't worry about it. And I was like, oh my gosh, where'd the rest of them go? I traded them for the weed eaters, new trailer, new this, new that. And I just dropped my head and walked off.
Conversation worth having. It really isn't. Now, my mother was tighter than Dick's hat band, and that woman could take 2 pennies, and when you look back down on the table, there'd be 3. She did that. Oh, I told my daddy before he died, if he'd turned to her loose, he'd have died a really wealthy man. I know I would have. Okay, but now mother could just turn a dime. She can do it without even thinking. And I tried to learn from her, and she and I had quite a party the last couple of years of her life. And she didn't die. Let's see, she's about 94 when she passed away. So she and I enjoyed those last 2 years. My brother died 2 years before that, so we just did everything we wanted to do.
WK, yeah, that's, I know different people that I've talked to, our parents have done some, and not all of them, but some of them, I don't know, when they get old, I hate to say it, but when they get old and they get to where they don't think and they don't make rational decisions, sometimes we wonder, well, now, you know, that ain't the way you raised me, well, I can do whatever I want to. And, you know, it's like that story, and I'm thinking, oh, my gosh. I was like, now, Daddy, I'm like, now, if I talked to you like that when I was a teenager, you'd have whooped my hind end.
I was just kind of listening back to my daddy one time telling me he was getting ready to sell some land. And I said, Daddy, you need to talk to your CPA before you do that. And he got all chest out in the sky there and said, I can do whatever I want to do, and that nonsense. Well, the next year when I was doing his income tax, I had to declare somebody else as a bad debt to get him out from under capital gains tax. They wanted $27,000 from that man, capital gains. And so he had, my mother was going to kill him if she'd ever found that out. So I just, there was a loan they had out there that I knew would never be collected. So I declared it as bad debt, and we got out from under the capital gains tax that way.
And I've heard some crazy things. Yeah, so you retired, you, I guess, and just kind of not doing a whole lot of anything right now? Or what do you do for a hobby other than ham radio?
I'm still flying, and I have neuropathy real bad, so I try never to drive. I've got golf carts that I ride and drive and create havoc in Pendleton, you know, driving them. Let's see, it's been flying, and the ham radio course, and I generally stay on 40 or 80 someplace around there. Don't work too much, too, anymore, and let's see, what else do I do? I wanted to learn to fish. My brother was going to teach me to fish. I've never caught but one fish in my life, and I don't even know what it was. I caught it out of 320 Creek over here sitting at a tree and with the line in the water. I don't even know what that thing was. I don't know whatever came of it. I didn't eat it. And so I wanted to learn to fish, but he didn't want to teach me. Evidently, he took to dying first.
I'm going to make sure I correctively heard you say right. You say you fly, too? I got 12 hours on my cord. They're in my book.
Anything, I try not to mention it because my wife, she's wonderful, but I would never try to teach her to fly an airplane for nothing. I mean, she would, I don't even like driving down the road with her. But yeah, I've been flying since 71 or 72. I've had a ham ticket since 71. I'm 71 years old almost right now, so I don't like the word retired because I'm still game for whatever. It's just you're going to have to wait a minute because I can't walk there real fast.
Yeah, I know I was taking flying lessons a while back from Jim Anderson over at the Clemson O'Connor Airport for a little while, and I had a lot of fun when I was able to get over there and do it. I'm doing this job right now. I just ain't got the time to put the dedication into it. And I think Jim done retired anyway.
Mr. Anderson, I will never call him Jim, not one day in my life. He's only a few years older than me, maybe 7 or 8 years older than me. Mr. Anderson, stop me and another boy on the bridge coming across Hartwell by the Holiday Inn in Clemson one night, about 1 o'clock in the morning, accused us of speeding, wrote us both tickets, and begged us to get back in our cars and run. I will never forget it. Now, Mr. Anderson and I've known him all my life and can drive right up to his house this evening and bang on the door, but I think he's probably staying with his daughters a little bit more. You know, his wife, she passed away. I think it was rather sudden. I don't know really what caused her to pass, but they were down visiting one of their daughters in Florida, and she got sick and she died. And she's buried right over here at Baptist Church, and I pass that every time I go to the Presbyterian Church, and he's got his headstone up. No, I've known him, Gus and Jim Anderson is what they call him. And I've done a lot of his check pilot rides as well, you know, where you got to have that guy in the right-hand seat. I've done a lot of that with him through the years, and he's just been a dear family friend. I mean, he really has. And you have to know the family, too, because in 1983, my stupid brother-in-law got his nothing pilot's license on February the 14th, and everybody was dead in a canyon on the 24th day of March, trying to fly high-performance aircraft all the way across the nation. I just cannot believe it. But Mr. Anderson would tutor Walter when Walter was here on the East Coast, and Walter took classes at John Wayne when he was on the West Coast. And so they ended up, he didn't even have his license long enough to get the real piece of paper.
I just got enough time in with Jim to, I think, 11 and a half, 12 hours, and I was fixing to do, I was getting really close to doing my solo, and then I was just going to have to start building up the hours, and new job got me to working so many hours and staying gone all the time, it's kind of hard to get back into it. I've been out of it for a great day in the morning. For a while, I was good friends with Dr. Stan Rampey, and I enjoyed talking to him. He's a good man. I hate he died in that plane crash. It's a terrible accident.
Well, I didn't know him that I know of. You know, I fly out of GMU, actually, Greenville Municipal, and that's the majority of where I would depart from. But we're looking at about 3,400 hours all total. You know, they pack up through the years. You go 148 hours a week to bye-bye, and you spend a lot of time sitting one place flying. I used to buy me a steak biscuit on Saturday morning, cup of coffee and from Hardee's, and go fly toward the mountains and take a newspaper to read. And when you got close, you knew to kind of turn it back around and come back toward the house.
Right here at the Clemson Eggs, and I'll get right back to you, KG4MUK.
I'm going to get off to the side. Forgive me for doing that, but I know my wife is looking for me. I'm going to need a better hiding place here before long, so I'm going to slip off and find out what she's wanting me for. WA4HNT, I'll be on the side for a few minutes.